Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Right now, we're about to be joined in studio by Powerhouse Hobbs. He's joining us in studio right now. He's got a big belt. I assume you were like the heavyweight champion. You're like the big dog when it comes to this thing.
One third of the trio's champions, you know.
Oh, man.
Happy to have you join us, man.
I feel like we should sing some Jodeci or something, bro.
Happy to have you in studio, man.
I appreciate it.
When'd you guys get to Kansas City, man? How long have you been here?
Man, I got in this morning. So I was supposed to get in last night, going from San Francisco to Salt Lake and Salt Lake here. Didn't happen. So I took a red eye from Frisco to Atlanta, and Atlanta here this morning.
So they had a busy schedule these last 24 hours,
man. It's part of the game. I love it. Can't complain.
Absolutely, man. We're happy to be joined in studio right now by...
I'm going
to
slide this to you and go ahead.
Okay. I've never actually held one of these real belts before.
Go ahead and...
This thing is heavy. Put that up on your shoulder,
you know.
All right. Hold on. Let me hold this. This is official, man.
I saw your tweet. I said, you know, I'm going to let my man rock the belt.
Thank you. I appreciate that. We're happy to be joined by Powerhouse Hobbs here. So I'm actually currently watching The Wrestlers on Netflix before.
Okay.
I never seen it before. Just tell us a little bit more about your upbringing, just your road to get here. Like, I'm sitting here watching it, and folks are wrestling in front of 200 people at a car lot. And man, how to get to where you are, there's thousands of people that want to be
in wrestled in front of five people at a flea market one time.
You win?
No. This is where I was starting
out. That's one of those things. You wrestle in front of five people, and you got to lose the
but
match.
But it's paying your dues, man. Like, I grew up in a two-square-mile city in the Bay Area in California, East Palo Alto. So East Palo Alto used to be the former murder capital of the United States. I'm talking about you can look up the history of it online. You can look up YouTube videos. Very dangerous city. Then bounced back and forth between there and Oakland, California. So my grandparents moved from Mississippi, I think it was 62 or 63, moved right across the street from the Cow Palace. So that's the mecca of the West Coast. So they watched Pat Patterson, Ray Stevens, High Chief Peter Mavia, Soul Man Rocky Johnson, Pepper Gomez, Kenji Shibuya. Like, wrestling was already on in my household before I was even thought about. So then grew up watching it, knew at a very young age, 3-4 years old, I wanted to do it.
You started wrestling here. I'm looking at your bio. You started wrestling at 18 years old. You had to have known at a very young age,
man,
this is what you wanted to do.
Man, we used to have battle royals on my big mama's big country 6-foot tall mattress.
Who are you pretending to be? Because we had this topic a couple of weeks ago that people always talk about the man card and stuff. There's two things I judge you for. I'm taking your man card away. Like, if you and I are at the tailgate and I throw you the football and you can't throw the football back to me, I got to question your childhood. I got to question you wasn't outside, or if you don't have a favorite wrestler. If you didn't have a favorite wrestler growing up in the Attitude Era, what were you doing at 11, 12 years old?
It was, so for me, I'm the youngest of siblings, cousins.
They were putting a lot of finishing moves on you.
Yeah, so I had to be whoever I was told to a certain age. But I remember my grandma bought me this black robe, had a red belt. My sister bedazzled it up. And, you know, I had to be Ravishing Rick Rude. And, you know, there's times I, you know, took my grandma's roller and curled my front of my hair. I was Razor Ramon, you know. So I wore my grandpa's 3-piece suit vest. I'm Stone Cold Steve Austin, you know. So wearing electrical tape around my arms, you know. I'm Ron Simmons, you know, Farouk. So it all depends, man. We wrote our own cards out, you know. Growing up, had the neighbors come over. We're in the backyard taking my grandpa's brand new sheetrock, you know, his tables. 3D and through the tables, body slams, all that stuff, man. So we used to put on shows.
Right now, we're joined in studio by Powerhouse Hobbs. He is with AEW. They're going to be in town tomorrow for AEW Dynamite and Collision. It's coming to Cable Dahmer Arena tomorrow, Wednesday, October 15th. You can watch it on TBS. You also can stream it on HBO Max.
Yes, yes.
When you were 12 years old, what was your favorite finishing move?
Rock bottom, Stone Cold Stunner. believe it or not, figure four. Spinebuster was the one. You know, that was always my go-to, as hence you can tell now. So it depends who we were, man. Like, the whole neighborhood will be having battle royals. So, you know, it was wild growing up.
What I always just love about either the Stone Cold Stunner or the Rock Bottom is it just would always, like, randomly come out of nowhere. Dude, like, Stone Cold would be losing the whole match, and all of a sudden, bam, that kick to the stomach. Yeah. Like, oh, my goodness, yeah. How'd you do this?
Yeah, you know, that's what I try to do with the Spinebuster. Try to hit it out of anywhere. So,
right now, we're joined in studio by Powerhouse Hobbs. We're going to do a little Ask Us Anything here coming up in just a little bit. You joined AEW in 2020. What was it like to join in the middle of COVID?
Frightening, because I just got laid off from my job. My daughter was, couple months old. So it was like, I couldn't get hired anywhere. Like, I applied at fast food spots, and they were like, nah. And, you know, it was because I was overqualified from what I was told, but... Man, I got a call, and QT Marshall actually texted me, and I didn't respond back for maybe like 3-4 hours. So I thought somebody was ribbing me, and I got a, you know, text from Cody Rhodes, you know. Then I was just like, I got to bet on myself at this point. So, you know, the story is already out there, man. It took off. You know, I had a debut match against Orange Cassidy. Then my second match was a 6-man against the Dark Order. And then week after week, I started showing up on Dark. And then, you know, Tony gave me that okay, gave me that head nod, that opportunity, you know, which we all want in wrestling. You know, you want that opportunity to prove yourself. And he saw something in me, and the rest is history. TNT champ, 1/3 of the Trios tag team champions, you know. So I can't complain, man.
This is my belt now.
Do you have your man, own? Like, you D-balling it right now, man.
I'm just asking, like, you brought me the belt here. I didn't know if you had your own. Like, you said, it's 1/3. That means there's two of them out there.
Hey, well, you know, Joe and Shibata got the other two. But, you know, just winning the Face of the Revolution ladder match, you know, and in my backyard at the Cow Palace, like, that meant the world. And then, you know, facing Jon Moxley for the AEW World Championship. You know, that meant a lot. So I've been on some big stages, had some great moments with this company. And I just think there's nobody like me in this company, in this business. I set myself apart from everyone else.
Right now, we're joined in studio by Powerhouse Hobbs. We're going to have him answer some questions here coming up on the other side. We'll get back to football coming up at the top of the hour. If you got a question, text it in 913-586-7965. Dynamite and Collision AEW. It is at Cable Dahmer Arena tomorrow night at Silverstein Eye Center Arena. You can catch it on TBS and stream it on HBO Max. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. Watch the show on YouTube by subscribing to the 965 YouTube channel. The Drive, brought to you by DM Entry Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Entry Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 965, The Fan.
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor, ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back into the show. We'll get back to the NFL coming up in a little bit. The University of Texas El Paso did a study, and they have concluded that since 2015, the league has been rigged for the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll talk about that here coming up in just a bit. We got Powerhouse Hobbs of AEW. I am now a trio champion.
You are officially an honorary member of the Ops.
Okay, I was going to ask you who else was in our group. I'm vouching for you. And who else do we got?
We got Samoa Joe and we got Shibata.
I don't want to be an op, though. I mean, what I know, you don't want to be the Ops.
No, we the good Ops.
Okay,
we the good Ops.
I definitely don't want to be the Ops.
We do damage out there. We the good Ops.
All right, so what we do now, we call it Ask Us Anything, where we let people ask us questions in rapid fire. You and I were talking during the break. You said you're hungry. You were talking about going to Chipotle. Come on now. How you gonna come to my hometown and you going to disrespect and say, where's the closest Chipotle?
Gotta stay healthy, bro, you know.
I can't let you do this. Gates Barbecue. Now, I'm going to tell you this. They're going to yell at you when you walk in there. There's going to be a nice, kinder, older black woman. She's going to yell at you, "Hi, may I help you?" Now, I don't want you to be startled.
She may not
by
try
this.
To grab on my muscles.
No, I don't think she's going to try to do that. I don't think Miss Shirley's going to try to do that. So what I want you to do is I just want you to say, "Mixed plate to go." That's all you got to say. Say, "Mixed plate to go, please." Just say it quick and you'll be good. That's all you got to do.
What's on this mixed plate?
Ribs, and you get a half pound of two different kind of meat. So if you want a little ham, you want a little turkey, you want a little brisket, you can even swap it out if you want to do that. Go ahead and get the mixed plate.
What's my sides?
Fries. Now, you can get your own sides there. I just get the fries. It comes with the fries. You got to dip the fries in the sauce. I always get a strawberry pop. You don't seem like you drink a lot of pop. Maybe you get a bottle of water.
I thought I was the only one to say pop.
I definitely say
for
pop.
For sure, for sure.
All right. Text line 913-586-7965. People want to know if you are an NFL fan. Do you have a favorite football team?
Yeah, I do. I do. I'm a big NFL fan. Growing up, obviously Niners fan. But, you know, last 5 years, I've been a Jags fan, baby.
That
Jags-Chiefs game, man, that was, man, I got goosebumps. That was a good game.
Who was your favorite Niner growing up?
Primetime, baby.
Okay, that's a good
Prime
one.
Primetime, man. You know, he's the reason why I used to, when I played Pop Warner, I wore my Big Mama scarf under my helmet. You know, and I'm telling you, on my playlist, I kid you not, man, Must Be the Money is on my playlist.
That's a great song.
It is.
How'd you pick your intro song?
So Mikey Ruckus came up with it, you know, who does a lot of a lot of talent's entrance music. And, you know, I love unsolved mysteries. So if you pay attention to my theme, that dun 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 sounds like unsolved mysteries. And everywhere I go, I kid you not, every week there's always somebody going powerhouse, whether I'm walking the street or in an arena, or if I, you know, yell at one of my kids, especially my daughter, she'll turn around and go, powerhouse, and go in her room, and I love it, man. I think one of my entrance song is unique.
Who was your favorite entrance song when you were a kid? Because there was something about that glass breaking
that
was always a big deal.
When I was pissed off, I would always do that Stone Cold song in my head.
Shawn Michaels has a good one too.
Yeah, that's a good one. Razor Ramon was hitting that. NWO Wolfpack was hitting. So.
You know, I'm afraid to tell you this, but
Harlem Heat too. Harlem Heat.
The Harlem Heat was a good one. I went through a stretch. I'm really scared to see my end of the year. I listened to John Cena's intro for about a week. That was like the only thing. I don't know. It was so catchy to me. No, I just really thought it was good.
My older son was into that, so I heard a lot of that. Cena can flow.
Text line 913-586-7965. We got Powerhouse Hobbs in here for a couple more minutes. We're asking him some
random questions.
Ask me
something, people.
We're asking him some random questions. How did you come up with your finishing move?
It was something I was doing as a child. Like, I love Arn Anderson, and the spine buster was devastating. I think it's used a lot, and it should be a finisher, just like the DDT. Like when Jake Snake Roberts did it, wasn't no getting up. When Arn hit that spine buster back in the day, wasn't no getting up. So that the way I do it now has a little pizzazz, a little pop on it, a little intensity on it. So that's why it's my finisher.
What is a key that people wouldn't think to being a really good wrestler? Because it feels like you have to be really solid at a lot of things. Like, you got to be able to cut a promo. You got to be able to sell. You got to be able to do these things. Like, what's like an underrated characteristic that you need to be a good wrestler?
You got to connect with the audience. That's the biggest thing. If you don't connect with them, they're not going to feel that emotion. Wrestling is about emotion, getting that emotion from people. You know, there's something, I don't know if you've seen when John Moxley hit me from behind the back with the chair. And I do this slow turnaround. This lip goes up. People feel that. And what happens after that is they start a "you effed up" chant. Oh, I'm in the ring and I got the guy in the corner and I lift his right arm up. They know that this big meat hook is coming and they're chanting "meat, meat, meat, meat." You come to the show tomorrow, right? You I'm gonna have to show out.
I don't know if I'm chanting "meat." I don't know if that's I got to throw the challenge flag on that.
Look, you're gonna have a lot of people around you like, "Hey, you gonna
everybody
have to,
else gonna be you gonna have to, why are they doing
right,
this?"
Right, right? So when I throw this meat hook, man, it's there. You got to connect with the audience. You know, you can do the fanciest moves, but if you don't have no connection behind it, I personally think it doesn't mean anything.
Someone on the text line wants to know, what's it like to work with Sting?
A dream come true. Phenomenal. I was Sting's last match in Jacksonville, Florida before his retirement match. And, you know, he hit me with that Scorpion Death Drop off the little the balcony we had and went through two tables. Like, that's crazy. Like, I got to work Sting. I was Sting one year for Halloween. Had my grandma's wig on, had her leather trench coat, you know, and then, like, I'm working with somebody who's trusting me, and it's his second to last match. Like, that says a lot right there.
Which one's, like, I guess, more painful to deal with? Is when they throw you through the table or somebody hits you with the chair? Neither one of them seem very fun.
No, I mean, I mean, you can look it up on YouTube. I get hit with a chair. It don't faze me. You know, I haven't been through too many tables, you know, but
it doesn't faze you? Like, dude, that's something you have to, like, practice. Like,
look, you see my back? You seen how big my back is?
Have you seen what chairs look like? Yeah. Somebody just picks up the chair and you just eat the chair.
Yeah, it doesn't faze me. I get hit in the back with the chair and I turn around and
I'd be out with Workman's Comp if I got hit with, man, the chair.
You know,
right,
not everybody can be big, black, and jack. You know what I'm saying? I'm like me. So it's
someone wants to know, what's your favorite kind of match?
Now that I've been in one, the Anarchy in the Arena. I don't know if you saw that.
I haven't, no.
So it was it was a wild. You got HBO Max?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, well you gotta look up Double or Nothing, baby, because that was our pay per view in Phoenix, Arizona, and it was chaos everywhere around the arena. Like, it was just action everywhere.
Who are you fighting tomorrow when I come out to the event?
Like, oh, so we are defending our trios titles against.
So you're fighting a tag team match.
The LFI trios.
Okay.
All right. 3-3.
Okay.
3-3. So we putting the gold on the line, and you know, Hangman Adam Page is defending his world title this Saturday at Wrestle Dream against 1/3 of the trios champs, my partner Samoa Joe. He's actually going to be ringside commentary. And then, you know, you got John Moxley and Darby Allin, who's going to be face to face, and they're having an I Quit match this Saturday. So this is the go home show, man. So it's a lot of action.
For sure. That is Powerhouse Hobbs joining us in studio. He is wrestling tomorrow at Cable Donner Arena.
Man, you got to put that belt up on your shoulder, bro.
I
don't know about all that.
You said I was an honorary member.
That means you get to hold it here. You getting me warmed up talking about you going to take my belt.
And yeah, this is like whenever, like, rappers give other rappers their chain. You gave me your championship belt.
Usually they take it. You know, but you know what I'm saying? You know, you got to put up on your shoulder, man. You know, walk around here and, you know, let people know you.
I might hit somebody with it and see how it works.
Go ahead.
I've been waiting to hit Rob. That's Powerhouse Hobbs joining us. Catch him tomorrow at Cable Donner Arena, AEW Dynamite and Collision. This is their last show before their pay-per-view, which is going to be in St. Louis on Saturday. Man, really appreciate your time. Good luck to you, man. Excited to come out to the event tomorrow. Coming up on the other side, there is a study that says the league is rigged for the Chiefs. We'll talk about it. Keep it right here. So drive.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.